Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Equal is Unfair Americas. Misguided Fight Against Income Inequality by Don Watkins and Yaron Brook is a polemical work of political economy and moral argument aimed at readers worried about the growing public focus on income inequality. The authors challenge the idea that a widening gap between rich and poor is itself a social crisis. And they contend that many popular proposals to reduce inequality rely on a mistaken standard of fairness. Framed in a pro-capitalism perspective influenced by Ayn Rand's objectivism, the book argues that a free society will naturally generate unequal outcomes because individuals differ in talent, ambition, and innovation, rather than treating that fact as a moral defect. Watkins and Brook present inequality as compatible with rising living standards and as a byproduct of productivity and value creation. They also argue that policies sold as anti-inequality measures often expand state power, penalize achievement, and erode the conditions that make broad prosperity possible. The result is a spirited counter-narrative to mainstream inequality alarmism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing the inequality debate from outcomes to success. A central move in the book is to reframe the public conversation away from the mere existence of unequal incomes and toward what those differences often represent in a market. Economy variation and productive achievement. Watkins and Brook argue that many discussions treat inequality as a self-contained evil, measured by statistical gaps rather than by whether people's lives are improving. Against that framing, they emphasize the moral and practical importance of success, including entrepreneurship, innovation, and high performance in competitive industries. In their view, when society treats top earners primarily as suspects, it encourages resentment and shifts attention away from the mechanisms that raise overall wealth, such as investment, risk-taking, and experimentation. The book also challenges the tendency to equate fairness with equal slices of the economic pie, arguing instead that the size and dynamism of the pie matters, especially for those starting with less, while readers may disagree with the tone or breadth of the critique. The topic is presented as a deliberate attempt to change the evaluative standard from comparing people to one another to judging whether a system protects the freedom to produce, trade, and advance. Secondly, equality of opportunity versus equality of outcome. The book draws a sharp distinction between equality of opportunity and equality of outcome and treats that distinction as the moral hinge of the policy debate. Watkins and Brook argue that a free society can aspire to legal equality and open competition, but it cannot guarantee equal results without coercive control over choices, rewards, and life paths. They present outcome leveling as incompatible with individual liberty because it requires continuous intervention to counteract differences in skills, preferences, effort, and luck. In this framework, fairness is tied to the rule of law, property rights, and voluntary exchange, not to a predetermined distribution that authorities attempt to enforce. The authors also criticize the rhetorical slide in which calls for opportunity gradually become demands for redistribution when outcomes do not converge. Rather than denying that people face real obstacles, they contend that the remedy should focus on removing barriers and protecting rights, not on penalizing those who achieve more. This topic anchors the book's broader argument that policies justified by equality often target the symptoms of economic change while undermining the conditions that make genuine upward mobility possible. Thirdly, the moral case for inequality in a capitalist society, Watkins and Brook, do not merely claim that inequality is economically tolerable. They argue it can be morally justified when it arises from voluntary transactions and value creation. Drawing on an objectivist-friendly view of ethics, they present the profit motive as an expression of productive virtue rather than exploitation. In that light, higher incomes and large fortunes can reflect the scale of value delivered to others, whether through new products, improved services, or better ways of organizing work. The moral focus is therefore not on whether outcomes look equal, but on whether the process respects individual rights and consent. The authors position envy and moral suspicion of wealth as corrosive forces that encourage politics to treat producers as resources to be managed. They also argue that wealth accumulation and investment can fuel innovation that benefits far more than the initial earner, even when gains are unevenly distributed. Readers familiar with libertarian and pro-market writing will recognize this as a rights-based and achievement-centered defense, but the book distinguishes itself by insisting that defenders of capitalism should argue on moral grounds, not only on utilitarian claims about growth. Fourthly, critique of redistribution and anti-inequality policy tools. A major portion of the book's case is directed at policy responses commonly proposed in the name of fighting inequality. Watkins and Brook criticize higher taxes on the rich, wealth redistribution schemes, and expansions of transfer programs as approaches that can punish productivity and enlarge government discretion over economic life. they also question interventions such as minimum wage hikes as broad instruments that may not address the root causes of low wages and can create trade-offs for employment and entry-level opportunity. Rather than treating these tools as straightforward fixes, the authors present them as part of a wider political project that frames success as something society must restrain. In their view, such measures can discourage investment, slow the formation of new enterprises, and shift incentives away from innovation toward political lobbying. They also argue that a growing welfare state can foster dependency and weaken a culture that prizes self-improvement and achievement. The book is not a technical policy manual, but it consistently pushes readers to ask what incentives an intervention creates, what freedoms it requires the state to override, and whether it treats citizens primarily as autonomous agents or as claimants to managed outcomes. Lastly, government intervention, cronyism, and the meaning of a fair system. Although the title targets income inequality, the authors repeatedly contend that government intervention is the deeper threat to a fair and prosperous society. They argue that regulation, subsidies, and political favoritism can distort markets and create forms of cronyism that are then misdiagnosed as failures of capitalism itself. On this view, some public anger about inequality is understandable, but it is often aimed at the wrong culprit, not voluntary exchange, but state-enabled advantage. Watkins and Brooke also emphasize that when government gains more power to equalize outcomes, the same power can be used to reward allies, entrench incumbents, and restrict competition. The book, therefore, links the inequality debate to a broader defense of limited government and individual rights. Fairness is presented as procedural rather than distributive equal protection under the law, freedom of contract, and rules that do not single out success for punishment. By highlighting the difference between market-earned wealth and politically granted privilege, the authors try to reclaim the idea that the most sustainable path to broad opportunity is a system where people can rise through production rather than through access to political influence. In conclusion, Equal Is Unfair is best suited to readers who want a forceful pro-capitalism response to contemporary claims that inequality is America's defining economic problem. Policy students, journalists, and debate-minded readers will gain a clear map of arguments commonly used by market-oriented critics of redistribution, along with a moral vocabulary that is often missing from purely data-driven discussions. Even readers who disagree can benefit from seeing how the authors connect the inequality narrative to questions about rights, incentives, and the legitimacy of profit. The practical payoff is less a list of technocratic fixes and more a framework for evaluating proposals. Does the policy protect opportunity and voluntary exchange? Or does it attempt to engineer outcomes by penalizing success? Does it reduce political favoritism or expand the scope for it? What helps the book stand out among inequality titles is its unapologetically normative approach. Many works in this category argue over measurements and trends. Watkins and Brooke argue over the moral standard used to judge an economy in the first place. By grounding their case in an explicit defense of individual achievement and limited government, they offer a distinct counterpoint to more egalitarian critiques. Readers looking for a balanced survey of competing schools may find it one-sided, but those seeking a coherent and provocative thesis will find a focused challenge to inequality alarmism. If you would like to support Don Watkins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.